Welcome to the Coffee with Kathy podcast. Take a moment to subscribe and like us on Facebook if you haven't already. You can also check out all of our books, merch, and future podcasts at coffeewithkathy.com. Now grab yourself a cup of coffee and get ready to be encouraged. Here's your host, Pastor Kathy Heitschu.
Hey, all my Coffee with Kathy peeps. Hey, it's time for coffee. Grab your coffee. Amen. If you already had a cup, get another cup. Today's devotional, oh my goodness, it is so good. I'll read it to you in case you don't have your book yet. Stop being impressed with people who can quote scripture. Be impressed by those who live scripture. I mean, Satan could quote scripture. And the verse is 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Word for the day is impress. Amen. There's a place in here for you to write your thoughts in Jesus' name. But listen, I got a great thing for all you U.S. peeps. Everybody who comments anything today on the broadcast, comment anything, we're going to put your name in for a drawing, and we're going to mail you. Sarah will ship you out the bundle. We've already got all the orders from last week shipped out, so we're ready to ship out more from this week. So just comment. All you have to do is comment on the broadcast. You can comment, pick me. You can comment, Kathy's awesome. You can comment anything. You know, my hair looks great. Any comment will put you in the drawing to win a Coffee with Kathy devotional journal and the notebook and pen. And it's what a great, great bundle we're doing for you today, as well as anybody who hashtag donates today. $50 or more, we'll send you it for free. So love that you support Coffee with Kathy. I get so many emails from around the world, literally, of people that this encourages, it helps them, it builds their faith. So thank you for supporting, partnering with me to do that. I'm going to teach you today how to take the Word of God and apply it to your life, apply it to your marriage, apply it to that wayward child that no book's been written about to help you with, how to use it to deal with everyday situations. So get ready for it. Good morning, all of my friends. Look at all my people on the line today. Oh man, y'all look good. Keep posting. Remember, I'll try to remember to remind y'all to remind me to tell them anybody who posts any comment today is going to get entered in to win my journal. So do that. Do you ever get caught up in recurring cycles of sin or failure? And everybody said, not me, not I. Hashtag not me. You know, you sin, you get caught, you confess or get caught, either one or sometimes both. You change, you grow, and then you fall back into that same pattern, that same vicious cycle. I'm going to help you today. You think you've dealt with it, and then you see it happening again. You know, wrong patterns, wrong thinking, wrong mindset, wrong responses, handling issues the wrong way, handling things the wrong way. Help is on the way. Because we have years of sinful patterns that we've established, just so you know, there may not be any shortcuts. This might take you just a little bit of time. It might not happen overnight for you to get rid of this cycle, because it didn't happen overnight for you to get into the cycle. It takes 21 days to create a habit. But it's possible to break sinful patterns. It's possible to do it for good, y'all. We can change. We're getting better. Amen. The good news of the gospel is that you can become a person of virtue, of high moral standards, of excellence, a righteous person. Amen. A person that does right, a virtuous person. You can become a person of godly character. I'm going to help you today. And it's not going to happen by just reading one of my books or listening to my podcast, hashtag ad for my podcast and my books. But, it's not going to happen by listening to my podcast, but hashtag ad for my podcast, because I do have a great podcast, I think. Might not happen by you going to a counselor. Certainly not going to happen by you taking a few Bible college classes, okay? All of those are helpful in the process, but it's a process that requires diligence and effort, staying on guard. So we're going to 2 Peter 1. This is why Peter says to the believers in 2 Peter 1, this is the process. So if you're taking notes in your notebook, this is the process. Make every effort. Be diligent to supplement, to add to your faith, to supplement your faith. Be diligent. Make every effort. This is good. To supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge, then self-control, steadfastness, godliness, and brotherly love and affection. Amen. Welcome all my friends. Is my husband on the line? Oh, very good. Is my sister on the line? Oh, well, I'll tend to the family later. Don't worry. This is why we ought to be vigilant in adding to our faith. So I want to break down just two of these qualities in 2 Peter. I'm not going to go over all of them today because it's going to be a quick Bible study. Just get you what you need and get you on your way. But I want to break down supplement your faith, add to your faith. I want to break that down, and I'm going to break down knowledge for you. It says, starting from the foundation of faith, add virtue. And then to virtue, add knowledge. So we're going to talk about adding to your faith, which add virtue to your faith. The word virtue is used in many different ways in Scripture. You'd have to study this out for yourself to find all the ways. I'm just going to give you a few of them. One meaning of the word virtue has to do with moral excellence or goodness. I wrote being decent, blameless, respectable, having honor, being righteous, actually pleasing God. Amen. He calls us to become virtuous and excellent. He calls us to have godly character. He calls us to be like Him. He calls us to live a life that's a reflection of His character. Can that be said about you today? Which you have learned and know to be able to live such a life. But in case you've forgotten, Philippians 4:8, the things that are true and pure and lovely and of good report, if there's any virtue, amen, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, it says, think about these things. It's these things that are morally excellent. It's these things that are admirable, that are exceptional, that are superb, morally excellent. And then there's a second aspect of the word, moral energy, or what I call spiritual vigor. Sometimes valor or courage. It has to do with spiritual fortitude. That means having a spiritual backbone. Too many people don't have one of them. That means having spiritual guts, having the guts and a backbone to live this kind of life, right? It's the energy, the strength to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, to be able to say no to things you shouldn't do, to be able to say no to people who try to pressure you to do things you shouldn't do, to be able that they think you shouldn't do. It's having a backbone. It's your faith in action. I love this because faith is not a weak thing. People think because they got faith that they're weak. Faith is not a weak thing. This is faith being lived out. It's being spiritually vigorous. It's having energy and exercising your faith. And we should exercise our faith, right? I talk with my hands a lot. I'm just seeing myself in the camera over there. It's like I'm Italian. It's the Italian in me. I got no Italian. But whatever. Sounded good. It's the opposite. I don't lose my place either. It's the opposite of being spiritually passive. Because don't you know spiritually passive people? You know those people, let go and let God. I mean, that sounds good, but let go and let God is passive. We're told in this verse right here to be diligent, right? It says to be diligent, to cultivate a faith that is energetic, it's active, it's alive. We're to be actively pursuing the righteousness of God, the character of God. I have to be diligent about pursuing, be active. I can't just let go and let God. I mean, I got to do my part. I got to be diligent about this thing. What are you doing today to be actively pursuing God? What are you doing today? All of you right now are watching the broadcast. All of you right now are getting your faith built up. You're listening to me preach. To your faith, add virtue. That means work it out, live it out. Another meaning refers to something fulfilling its proper or intended use. Fulfilling the purpose for which it was designed. This podium here that's in front of me was designed to hold my notes. It's fulfilling its design purpose. It's holding up my notes. It's holding my Bible. It's holding all of my stuff. It's fulfilling its proper use. And you're excellent. You have virtue in this sense when you fulfill all that God's designed you to do. What has He designed you to do? What are we designed to do, Kathy? I'm glad you asked. We're designed to be like Christ. We're designed to be like Christ. As you become more and more like Christ, as you become morally excellent, as you have moral energy, as you add to your faith daily, then you're fulfilling your designed purpose. He created you for this purpose, to be like Him. We've been saved, according to 1 Peter 2:9. We've been saved to show forth the world, the excellencies, the virtue of God. It says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, that's the same word as virtue in this verse, of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Right? He's called us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We're called forth to shine. Amen. That reminds me of a word I got this morning. We're called to shine forth. Amen. Shine on. We're called to be a visual, living, walking, talking demonstration of the moral excellencies and character of God, a reflection of His beauty in our world. When we do that, we're being excellent. Can you say that you do that? We're adding to our faith excellence. We're adding to our faith virtue. We're doing what the Scripture says for us to do. The next one is knowledge. Oh, I like how you do that. I'm going to start doing that. I just saw it in the comments. Yes. What? Do more. Oh, yes, yes, amen. So I control my hands. Just kidding. Morning, all y'all. I'm so glad you joined me. Don't let me forget, everybody who comments on the broadcast today is going to get entered into a drawing to receive our bundle, our Coffee with Kathy Daily Devotional Journal, and our notebook and pen. We'll ship it to you free of charge. All you have to do is comment. You can comment, good morning. You can comment, you look lovely today, Kathy. You can comment, your makeup is on point, Kathy. Amen. Or you can just comment, hashtag Kathy said it. And then, of course, everybody who hashtag donates $50 or more today, sow into the kingdom, partner with us. I'm going to send the bundle to you for free. Okay, the next one is knowledge. Remember, it said add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Good morning, all of y'all. I see all your comments. Y'all got it going on. Amen. This is great. Oh, good morning, James and Dana and Barb. Oh, hey, Barb. I miss you so much. Good morning. Oh, my son-in-law's on the line. Well, that's all that mattered. Y'all could have just told me my son-in-law was on. That's Bible study enough for me. Just kidding. I love all y'all. So it says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. In this context, the word knowledge has to do with the ability to practically apply the word of God to real life situations. Okay? It's the ability to discern the difference between right and wrong. This is why I need knowledge. I'm like clapping my hands at y'all like children. This is why I need knowledge, so I can discern right from wrong. I can discern from a good thing from a God thing. Can I just say, some of you are doing a good thing, but it's not a God thing. Check yourself. Some of you are not doing a God thing because you think you're doing a good thing. Check yourself, right? It's wisdom. Getting this knowledge, it's wisdom. It's understanding. It's actually practical knowledge of God and His Word and how to apply it to your life. And don't we all need to apply God's Word to our everyday real life situations? I know I do. This word talks about living out this energetic, excellent, active faith in real life, everyday circumstances. And I'll tell you, the first place you're going to get this is studying God's Word. It's not just knowing God's Word. using it as the basis to act wisely. You know, there's wisdom in counsel. Get wisdom. If you don't think you're making a wise choice or a wise decision, seek wisdom. That's Bible. Amen. That's Bible. Wow. Is she just teasing me? And using it to be godly in every circumstance and every situation of life. Amen. Use the word of God. Use it to make every situation in your life a godly situation and everything you go through be godly. Because all of us face different circumstances in life, right? Some of you are dealing with mega problems in your marriage, okay? Some of you are dealing with issues at work. Some of you have certain habits that you're struggling with. We're at a different place in our spiritual growth. I get it. You know, some of you are single. Some of you are married. Some of you have a whole bunch of kids. I got six of them. Hey, man. And some of you are empty nesters. I'm almost there. I can't wait to be like you. Some of you are dealing with divorce. Some of you are dealing with death. Some of you are dealing with disaster, right? Paul says in Romans 15:14, to those believers, you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, same word, all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. You're filled with this knowledge. Pull on it, drag on it, use it in your everyday situation. And then use it to instruct one another, help one another. These weren't professional counselors or therapists. He said, you're able to help one another. You're able to instruct one another because you're filled with goodness. That's virtue, people. That's excellence. And you're filled with knowledge, second word, knowledge. That's the knowledge of God's word practically applied to your real life situation. What's going on at your house this morning when you got up? So let me ask you a few questions right down in your notebook. Are you growing in your knowledge of God's word and his ways? Are you growing? That's a good question. Write that down. Number two, what are you doing to get to know God better? What are you doing to get to know his word better? Are you actually studying his word or just reading it? Number three, are you spending consistent time seeking to know him through the study of his word, through prayer with him, through a relationship with him, right? Number four, are you able to take the word of God and apply it to your own life? Can you apply the word of God to your circumstance right now, to that thing you're dealing with right now? Do you have the word that you're standing on? Do you have that scripture in your heart, on your goal poster? Number five, do you know how to walk in wisdom? Do you? Number six, do you know how to make decisions based on the authority and principles of God's word? Number seven, do you know how to use God's word to minister to the needs of others? Or do you just say, I put you on my prayer chain. I'm going to call up the head of my prayer team, put you on the prayer team. Can you effectively minister God's word to other people, hurting people, dying people? And the last one, number eight, do you know how to do it? Do you know how to use God's word to minister to others? And do you know how to do it for yourself? Do you know how to minister to yourself with God's word? If you don't, get in God's word. If you don't do any of these things, get in God's word. You have to make it your determined purpose to get in God's word. And if you say, but I don't have time, cut some things out of your schedule. Cut them out, people. Hashtag cut them, right? Get to know God to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge and knowledge with self-control. Now, I'll just touch real quick on self-control because I said I'd only talk about two of them, but I feel like I should talk about self-control just because how many people I see on the line. Just kidding. Self-control. Some of the translations might say temperance. Your version might say that. But let's talk about what it is and why it's important and how we can make every effort to get self-control in your life. In my life, I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching into the mirror. I see myself. Self-control, temperance, it has to do with moderation. That's a word you don't hear preached very often. It has to do with self-restraint. It has to do with put the fork down. But I didn't say that. Okay, but in 2 Peter, let me tell you what temperance or self-control in 2 Peter, it says it has to do with having power over yourself. Mastery over yourself. Woo! Being able to hold oneself in. Look that up. If you don't have the power over yourself, then you are powerless. Right? This is important. So, self-control, temperance, whatever your version says, has to do with controlling your passions and desires rather than being controlled by them. And here's a good nugget. If you don't make your passions your slave, then you will become slave to your passions. Smile. We got to deny our flesh. We have to deny self. I have to tell my flesh what it's going to do, how it's going to do it, what it's going to eat, what it's not going to eat, when it's going to exercise. Ooh, I'll say the E word. Let's move right along. We got to keep our emotions and impulses and behavior under control. That's what self-control is. It's you being able to keep your emotions in check and under control. You being able to keep your impulses under control. That's self-control. Other meanings in the Greek have to do with being self-indulgent. Lack of self-restraint. Would people say that about you? Would people say that you have lack of self-restraint? Just being honest today, right? One refers to a prodigal. That's one who spends too much. Y'all thought I was just going to talk about food. Y'all like, oh, shut up, Kathy. I thought you were just going to talk about food. But now we're talking about wasteful manner of living, giving into pleasure, doing whatever you feel like doing. Buying what you want to buy, eating what you want to eat, saying what you want to say, smoking what you want to smoke, and drinking what you want to drink. Come on. And that isn't that what we want to do as it relates to our body? You know, I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like exercising. I don't feel like putting my pocketbook away. I don't feel like eating healthy. Right? That's because our body craves being pampered. Our body wants to be pampered. It's the truth. We want to be indulged. We want to indulge, and we want you, I want you to indulge me. That's flesh. When we give in to these passions, when we're not controlling the appetite of the flesh, we end up slaves to the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. We end up a slave to passions. I read this. I did this study. And this is one evidence why we need self-control. Here's a statistic I read. It is estimated 14 million. That's more than most all y'all got in the bank. In case you want to know how much 14 million is. 14 million Americans are currently attending a 12-step program of various types. All kinds of 12-step programs. All kinds of programs, period. 14 million Americans. And what's it say about these people? What are they saying? They're saying, my life is out of control in this particular area. They're saying, I can't control what I eat, what I drink, what I smoke, what I pop, pill I pop. They're saying, I can't control, right? They're saying, I need help. They're going to a program to get help because they don't have self-control. And there's an interesting verse in Acts 24 that uses the word self-control. It gives us some insight about its meaning and its importance. And I'll just take you through it in Kathy version, because, you know, everybody needs a Kathy version of the Bible. So the Apostle Paul, get this, he's been detained by the government in Caesarea. Okay, the governor was a man named Felix. He was on his third marriage. The woman he was married to at the moment was named Drusilla. She wasn't 20 years old yet. She was a young Jewish woman. She was previously married to the king of Syria. But Felix, the governor, had been smitten with this woman's beauty and lured her away from her first husband and married her. So she's number three for him. He's number two for her. He lured her away from her husband. One day, Paul, who was in prison for his faith, of course, was summoned to appear before Governor Felix. Drusilla was there too. Verse 24 says, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And listen to what Paul's preaching about. This is a riot. This is Paul, he preaching. As he reasoned about righteousness, preached about righteousness, preached about self-control, and preached about the coming judgment. You can imagine that went over real well with the governor, right? He's up there preaching the gospel to this adulterer who's married to an adulteress. Like, really, Paul? You're going to preach about righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment? Sure enough, because he has spiritual guts and spiritual backbone. This is me. Would you have had the courage in that situation to pick up those three topics and preach them? It said, as Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the coming, Felix was alarmed. Ah, look at that verse. Felix was alarmed. Y'all, he was shook. If we talking about 2020, 2021 word, Felix was shook. Okay? Some of the translations say he was afraid. That's enough for now, he said. You may leave, go away, sent him away, right? That's enough for now. And isn't that like most of us are? That's enough for now. Some of you have already logged off. Yep, I see it. Huh? That's enough for now. You may leave, go away. He said, when I find it convenient, I will send for you. Amen. Can you imagine people leaving the church? How about they're preaching and people are like, okay, that's enough for now. Pastor James, Pastor Kathy. I'll come back when it's convenient for me to hear that word. But he sent him away. He said, I don't want to hear about this anymore right now, some translations. He says, when I get an opportunity, I will summon you. You know that opportunity ain't never going to come. Maybe another day we'll talk about this, but I don't want to talk about it right now. And ain't that how some of your friends and family are? Why? Can you say conviction? Can you type conviction right now? Can you just hashtag conviction right now? Felix knew what Paul was talking about, and he knew he was talking about him. He knew it. I mean, the shoe fit real well. Here's this adulterous man. He's a married woman, and he lures her away from her husband. Talk about lack of self-control. Talk about lack of righteousness, lack of righteous living. There it is. He didn't want to face his lack of self-control. He didn't want to face his lack of righteousness, and he certainly didn't want to be forced to face the coming judgment. It's interesting that lack of self-control is a major root cause in immorality and impurity. Felix didn't want to have to acknowledge that he had moral failure. He didn't want to listen to a gospel that would require him to exercise self-control. What? Calm down, people. He didn't want to listen to a gospel that encouraged him to be virtuous, to live a virtuous life. And so go some of us. We think we're free. We think we're free to just eat what we want and drink what we want, free to sleep around and hook up with anybody we want to hook up with. But according to the Bible, the people who think that's freedom are really slaves. If you're overcome by food or sex or sleep or lust of the flesh, laziness, all of that, you're not free. Can I tell you, friend, you're a slave. You're a slave. And for years, I've had to work on adding virtue, adding high moral standards. I've had to work at adding knowledge to my faith for years. That's the easy stuff. The stuff that I've struggled with, I've never successfully developed, is self-control and perseverance. In that list of things, those are two that I have to work on. I've not developed them. And this is why I've not been able to experience a level of godliness and kindness and brotherly love that I want either. Amen? And so for you as well. But God's speaking to me on this issue of self-control, just like he is you. I know it. 1 Corinthians 9:27. This is a verse for the new year, new you. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I discipline my body. Hey, Dana, I'm so glad you're on the line. I discipline my body. I make it my slave. Amen. I discipline my flesh. The word there is actually, I pummel my body. I beat it black and blue. And not in the sense of abuse, but in the sense of controlling it. I control my body. It's saying, body, you're not going to run my life. Emotions, you're not going to run my life. Feelings, you're not going to run my life. Passions, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, all the lusting things I want to do, you're not going to run my life. It's saying, Jesus, you're going to run my life. Jesus, you're going to be in control of my life. My body will be my slave. What a good verse. It's an instrument. It's not to be the master. My body will be my slave. It says, if I don't do that, then I run the danger that after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified in this race. So can I speak to all the ministers out there? Can I speak to all the teachers, all the fivefold ministry right now? Can you just take a heartfelt word from God right now? If I don't do that, that means if I don't discipline my body, if I don't make it my slave, if I don't pummel my body, beat it black and blue, control my body, if I don't do that, that's all that. It says, then I run the danger that after preaching to others, after teaching others, after ministering to others, I myself should be disqualified in this race. Amen. I don't have self-control enough to wait. I can't wait till God tells me to do it. I can't wait till God leads me to it. I can't wait for God's resources. I just don't do it on my own. I have no self-control. I can't wait and be patient. It says that I myself should be disqualified in this race. That's a sobering thing for us. I realize that if I don't develop the discipline of self-control in my life, if I'm not controlling my body, my emotions, my words, my attitude, everything that needs to be under God's control, then I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be vulnerable. And you'll be vulnerable too. I'm going to become a slave to my body, a slave to my passions, a slave to my lust, and then there's going to be a good chance I'm setting myself up to be sidelined, to be distracted in this race. I can't do that. It's in one version it says, becoming a castaway. Another one says, becoming useless, disqualified from the race. You become a useless minister. Amen? You become a useless pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist. You become a useless pastor, preacher, teacher. It says becoming a castaway. That's Bible. Y'all, I didn't make this stuff up. This Bible. It's from the Bible. Let that be a sobering thought to us today. We can practice self-control. We have self-control. It's not something you got to go buy. It's not something I got to lay hands on you and you're going to get it. We have a fruit of the Spirit. We have self-control. You can do this. There's hope. Amen. And I'll end with this. Ask yourself these things. Do I have each of these qualities in my life? I only got to touch on virtue and knowledge and a little bit on self-control. But go back and look at all of them in 2 Peter. Look at all of the lists. Do I have each of these qualities in my life? As it relates to virtue or excellence, high moral standards, as it relates to all of that, is my life characterized by excellence, right? Do I choose to think, read, be entertained by, look on things that are virtuous or excellent? Or will I just watch anything? Will I just participate in anything? Is it ethical? Is it upstanding? Is it right? Is it blameless? Is it honest? Is everything you do glorify God? Is everything you watch on your phone glorify God? Can I just tell you, you used to would say, is everything I watch on TV glorify God? But I would even say, do some of the people that are in your, are on your wall or in your, what's that thing called? Yeah, your circle of influence, the people in your social media, when you're scrolling through, feed. Girl, I knew she would know it. That's why you need a media team like I have. In your feed, does it glorify God? Are the people you're scrolling and watching and spending hours and hours and hours a day with? Because you can get them off of there. You don't have to have them on there. If it's not godly, don't watch it. Don't do it. Don't participate in it. If they're not godly friends, boop, boop, boop. And don't try this, well, I'm winning them to the Lord. It's real simple. Amen? It don't take a long time. You're either leading them or they're leading you. And you should quickly be able to recognize which is happening. Okay, I'll get off of that. The next one is my speech, actions, and choices excellent. Do I make good choices? Good, sound Bible choices. I can go to the Bible and show you where the choice I'm making is biblical, it's godly, it's good, it's pleasing to the Father. Am I doing that? Do I have a heart and an appetite for things that are excellent, good, and pure? Do I have an appetite for food? Or do I have an appetite for things that are good and pure and pleasing to God, virtuous and excellent? Right? Do I have energetic, vigorous faith? Get your faith up. Listen to faith preachers. Get your faith built up. Whatever you got to do, get your faith built up. Right? Is your faith alive? Is it even active? Is your faith even growing? Those are questions you can ask.